Hey, what's going on, everybody? It's Ryan with the Starseed Sound again. I just want to start off this episode by saying I apologize for not posting anything for over a month, even though I said I was going to do an episode every week. Shit has just been kind of hectic lately. I've been settling down here in Denver, and as you may know, if you listened to my last episode, I moved out here just about a month ago, so I am just kind of getting settled down here, and I'm moving again at the end of the month, so that should be fun. But yeah, I just wanted to check in with you guys and make another episode, and hopefully some of you are still around from previous episodes, and if not, welcome to the new people that are listening. I hope you enjoy this episode. You can expect for the topics of this episode to be starting over, staying positive, detaching yourself from relationships that no longer serve you, and the pros and cons of owning a dog. So if these topics interest you, then please stick around and listen to the episode. Not sure how long it'll be, but yeah, I just really appreciate your guys' time and your ears, and enjoy. All right, y'all. So to start out this episode of the Starseed Sound, I'm going to talk about starting over. I kind of talked about this in the last episode and maybe the other two. I haven't really delved into it too much, though. And so starting over can mean so many different things for different people. I really think people have a plethora of reasons, personal reasons, to just kind of start over in a new place with new people, in a new job, and you know, that creates a new person, it creates a new you. And I think it can be very beneficial for people who feel kind of stuck and stagnant in the position that they're in right now. I know that that's how I was feeling. You know, back in Iowa, I just felt really stuck, and I felt like I wasn't going anywhere, and I felt like there was no real potential for me in that state any longer. I had spent 22 years of my life there, you know, the only 22 I had. And I, you know, the same people, the same places, the same faces, the same environments, you know, were kind of wearing on me. And they were, you know, I had a lot of baggage there, you know, with the family problems, with, you know, fake friends, with shitty jobs, with things that just weren't serving me at all. So if my experience is sounding similar to yours, and you kind of are getting this intuitive knowing and feeling that you need to move and you need to go somewhere new and start over, then you should and you must listen to that, because that is the only thing that will keep you in alignment with your higher path. And if you don't listen to that, it's going to be a very, very big shame, because you have so much potential and you should do whatever your heart wants to do and go wherever your heart wants to go. So yeah, guys, as far as, you know, worrying about getting a job, having enough money, finding a place that would suit you and, you know, that you could stay at in this new state, this new country, wherever you're going to move, you know, don't worry about too much of it. Do all that you can to save up as much money as you, like if you're working at a shitty job, save up as much money as you can and, you know, start planning out when you're going to leave, where you're going to go. You know, what I did, and what I'm doing right now is actually I rented out an Airbnb for about a month and a half. And I know it's pretty damn expensive, but I saved up plenty of money to give me kind of a cushion to find a more reasonable price place. So yeah, if you're thinking of going to a new place, just rent an Airbnb maybe. And this is a perfect spot where even if you don't have a job, like, you know, even if you don't have a job and you just want to move and up and move and then look for it while you're there, because oftentimes in-person interviews are a bit more yielding than on the phone or Skype interviews, They, you know, the employers just think, oh yeah, this guy's more serious because he's actually coming here and he's really looking. So you can, you know, look for jobs when you're at the Airbnb, and, you know, if your resume is good and if you interview well and if you're, you know, just an overall motivated person, I think you'll have no problem finding something that is in alignment with your career goals. As far as that though, what I've come to learn is it alleviates a lot of stress if you already have a job lined up when you're coming to a new state, new city, new country or whatever. And, you know, because if you have to worry about your source of income and how you're going to pay rent and how you're going to buy food and all that stuff while going to a new place, it just adds that much more stress to moving, because moving is very stressful to begin with, to be honest. But that being said, you don't need to have something lined up. It's just in this internet age, in this day and age, it's so easy to go out there and start applying for places in your new city or new state that you're looking at. So yeah, guys, really just take that in. And you know, another huge plus is you're gonna, you know, get to explore new places. Like, have you ever noticed, I was talking to my uncle about this the other day, that when you're in the same place for so long, for years on end, and you're driving around, you kind of don't really notice things as much. They're kind of just taken for granted. And you, like, for instance, if you drive the same route to work every single morning, every single day, you may not even notice a certain store that you've passed for 10 years. And then finally one day you turn over and, oh, what? There's a fucking massage parlor right there, whatnot. And it's like, in a new place, you just, your mind is open. And when you're in the unknown is when you grow the most. That's what I've come to learn, honestly. And you know, it's really a transformative experience if you keep with it and if you make the intention to meet new souls and go new places when you arrive at the new destination. So yeah, that kind of comes into my other thing about the benefits of just starting over, is just meeting new people. You know, I've already met several really fucking cool people that I'm probably going to keep in contact with, you know, for fairly long time, you know, probably as long as I'm in the state of Colorado or Denver, probably for the rest of my life. And I've only been here for not even a month. So, you know, just go out. And yeah, I mean, I'm pretty introverted, pretty shy, but I also like to be social and like to talk every now and then. And, you know, if you just kind of put yourself out there and set the intention to meet new people and talk to new souls and do all that stuff, you're going to be rewarded and it's going to feel really good because you're going to have support. You know, if you don't know anybody in the new place that you're moving to, it can be really hard and it can be really daunting. So I think it's very safe to say that it would be very beneficial for you to just go out there and meet new people, you know, especially what I'm saying is, you know, if you do rent Airbnb for a month and then do that until you find a job in an apartment or a place to stay, it's a very good place to meet people, you know, especially if you're kind of a homebody. You know, I'm more of a homebody myself. I also like to go, you know, explore and hiking and all that stuff. I'm not much of a nightclub person at all, but I really love nature, so I go out and meet people there. But, yeah, I mean, whatever you do, whatever you like to do, go there. You're going to meet new people. You know, it doesn't matter. Just spark up a small conversation and you never know what you could have in common and, you know, where that could lead. So, yeah, guys, you know, going to a new place, meeting new people, getting a new job, you know, this is going to create a new you and you're going to feel refreshed and you're going to feel motivated to actually live your best life and not worry about anybody, you know, what anybody else is saying. So yeah, do that, guys. You know, if you're kind of thinking, wow, starting over, like I have so many bills already. I have loans, I have car payment, I have rent, all this. Start small, you know, start saving $50 a month. you know, $50 a month, I mean, that can really build up. So if you're worried about the monetary aspect, it's definitely a legitimate worry, but you shouldn't allow that to hinder you from just making the leap. Because if you worry about that, you know, and if you don't act because of that, you're just going to end up being stuck in the same place for the rest of your life. I mean, it's like that. If you kind of disregard that higher voice inside of you that's saying, move, leap, jump, go, then you're more likely to disregard that in the future when it comes. And it's going to become quieter and quieter as you become older and more set in your ways. And it's harder to change when you're older. I mean, that's just a fact. So, you know, but it's never too late also. I mean, just go out there and fucking do you, man. Just jump and, you know, do what you want to do. Meet who you want to meet. Go where you want to go. So, yeah, that's probably, you know, a good basis to starting over. It can be really scary. You don't have family out here, but sometimes it's good to get away from family, especially if you've had some, you know, trauma and some arguments and all of that stuff. And it's not like you're never going to see them again. Of course you are. They're your family, but you need to do what's best for you. So, yeah, guys, I have faith in you if you're listening to this. And if you listen to this episode, you probably, you know, are in some similar situation, like you're getting tired of the same job or whatever. So, yeah, if you want to, you know, just kind of get out of Dodge, that's probably how you should do it. But I'm going to transition over to the next topic, which is staying positive in a negative pushing world. And what I mean by that is every time you turn on the news, every time you turn on the television or, you know, fucking open up the news app or whatever on your phone, what are the first stories that come up? You know, first several, just depressing, negative stories about everybody and about everything. And this is meant to instill fear and to instill a sense of, I would say, kind of conformism. You know, the news is just a fucking huge fear-based place. I mean, it's just where fear is born. It's literally like, you know, the television. Break that down. Tell lie vision. Tell lies to your vision. I mean, of course, I like TV like anybody else, but I've been noticing that the less and less screen time I'm having, the happier and more fulfilled I'm feeling. So, you know, I mean, it's proven, like studies have been proven that the more screen time you have, the lower your IQ is, and the more, you know, unmotivated you're going to be, the lazier you're going to be. Like, it tricks the brain, you know? Like, if you're staring at a screen for the whole day, and especially at night, it's going to, like, trick your body, right? It's going to be like, wait, it's not daytime, it's nighttime. But your brain thinks it's daytime because you're staring at a bright LED screen. And, you know, this is going to fuck up your natural rhythm. And that's a way with a lot of people. You know, I like to watch a good movie, you know, at the end of the day, sometimes like anybody else, or play a good video game. But, I've been making it a thing for me, especially this past week, few days, is to read an hour before nighttime. So to shut off all screens, to do all that. And I know it can be fucking hard, especially if you've been doing it for years. But it's very, very, imperative for, you know, your positivity. And if you don't, if you don't kind of limit the things that are hindering you and that you know aren't serving you, then they're just going to keep on getting worse and proliferating in your life. So, yeah. But yeah, man, just like, there's so much fucking negative news, man. Like, whether it's about fucking, like 10 out of 10 stories probably hear about Donald Trump, all this negative shit. And, you know, some of them, yeah, okay, could be good, but most of them are fucking, you know, very agenda driven. And it's not just about him, it's about anything. But fucking every time I turn on the news, it's something about Donald Trump. It's like, I get it, but honestly, I don't have time to care about that fucking man. Like, I don't give a shit. Like, yes, he has an influence somewhat on my reality right now because I do live in America and he is the president, but I'm tired of all of these stories about him, you know? It's every day of every minute. And it's like, don't the news organizations realize why their ratings are plummeting at such rates? It's because people are tired of hearing the same shit, same negative agenda, you know? And it's like that with all news organizations, you know, left, right, middle, whatever. I don't care if you're liberal, conservative, or not even political, you know. It's like that with pretty much every news organization, you know, unless you're watching the weather or unless you're watching, you know, the fucking sports news. It's like, it's going to be pretty fucking negative. And even like the weather, you got to be careful. They don't, you know, they don't know. This shit can come out of nowhere. But yeah, dude, like, for me, staying positive means not consuming that shitty media, not consuming that negative news, you know. I mean, negative news is what's pretty much there today, you know. That's what sells, that's what brings in the ratings. But with all these other platforms like podcasting and stuff, you can really get your media from more healthy sources and from sources that don't have an agenda and sources that aren't trying to push a narrative. Because all of these places, all these big ones, you know, CNN, fucking CNBC, Fox News, what the fuck ever, they all have an agenda, no matter what. Okay, yeah, some of the stories definitely are true, but some of them are also very propaganda ridden and want to push that agenda. You know, I mean, I'm not saying all news is bad. I'm saying that, you know, turn it off when it's time. Turn it off when there becomes a story that you know is, you know, just narrative driven. So, whatever. I'm not going to go into that too much. But yeah, guys, just stay fucking positive. Go outside. Shut off the screens. You know, just fucking spend time with animals. Spend time with yourself. Meditate, read, write. Draw, you know, do something that's not, you know, always about consuming. You know, we get so wrapped up in consumption, we oftentimes don't make time to create. So you really need to make time to create, and I think you will be a lot happier. That's, I guess, what my experience has been. But yeah, so honestly, one of the main reasons that I really wanted to leave my home in Iowa and my family was because of my brother. So my brother, I don't know if I've mentioned this on here, but my brother has been very, very hard to live with. You know, pretty much for my entire life, he treated me like shit growing up. He's 3 years older than me. I'm 22. He's 25. But yeah, he would beat me up and all this stuff and call me names and degrade me when I was younger. And then finally, when I got bigger, he said, oh shit, I can't do that now, because then he can fight back, which was nice. But the past few years have been terrible. I mean, they have been so rough. He is very disrespectful to my parents, who have given him everything, who love him dearly, and he just is not grateful at all. And he's a very toxic individual to be around. And I was living in a house with him and my two parents. And it was the same house I grew up in. And I was feeling very enclosed and very small and very constricting. And I had to just jump the fuck out of there. And before I came here, about a week before I left for Colorado, I got into a huge fight with him because he was going down the wrong path. He was using meth, dealing meth, hanging around with real skeez balls, and just doing things that I knew were just such a low vibration I couldn't be around. And it was like, you know, I never for once thought in my head that I'm better than him. I was just always, you know, trying to be supportive, but also just trying to get away from that negativity. But it was all around me at all times. I couldn't escape it because I was living around it. You know, your environment literally influences your mindset and your actions. So yeah, anyways, a week before I came out here, I got into a huge fight with him. He came home and, a week before this, he came home and he was very paranoid. You know, he was strung out on meth. He hadn't slept in, I don't know, 4 or 5 days, it seemed like. And he was very jittery. He was very skittish on everything. You know, he saw me and my dog and he was like, "Oh my God, who the fuck?" And then he slammed the door and he was shouting at my mom and calling her a bunch of fucking names. And he was strung out. He was very paranoid. I don't know if you guys have ever dealt with anybody on this drug, but it's terrible. And so anyway, my parents had to call the police and they transported him down to the hospital. And he spent some time in the psych ward. And you know, I don't know that that really did anything because fast forward a week, you know, I went to visit him there and he was sobbing, saying sorry, but also just being very demanding and rude and just saying, "I want out of here, I want out of here." And I knew he wasn't ready to change. And so I was kept on telling my parents, "You can't let him come back. You can't let him come back." And lo and behold, they let him come back to our house. And a week in, he's, you know, not even a week in, 3 or 4 days in, he starts shouting at my mom, calling her all these names because she says, "Well, you got to get a job. Like, you know, you got to get a job. You got to start doing something. You can't just sit around all day." And then he's like, the minute she had expectations on him, he blew the fuck up at her, you know? And it was ridiculous. It's like, dude, you can't, he treats my parents like shit. He doesn't want to do anything and he just wants to lay around and he's very messy, never cleans up after himself. It's like, you're 25. You really have to get your fucking shit together, dude. You know? And I think the thing, so anyways, a week before came out here pretty much, or a couple days even, we got into a huge fight. He was screaming at my mom and then I started shouting at him. You know, he threatened to punch her in the face. And I was like, "No, this is not okay. Like, I'm fucking intervening." So I started shouting at him and telling him that he needs to get his shit together. He can't blame people for the rest of his life. You know, people like that just like to externalize their problems, like to blame others for their issues, which is a recurrent cycle. You're never going to get better. You're only going to get worse if you just put blame on others for the circumstances in your life. And anyways, he was being very disrespectful again, nothing out of the usual. And so I literally was, you know, verbally sparring with him for a minute. And then you know, we got into a huge shouting match and he finally comes up to me, scratches me, draws blood, you know, starts trying to hit me. And then I kick him really hard, you know, just to defend myself. And then he comes back at me and then I swing on him, kind of graze his cheek a little. You know, I didn't want to hurt him at all. I didn't want to fight him, but he was threatening to punch my mom in the face. And I was like, "No, this is not okay." And so I had to stand up for her. And he, you know, he fucking came after me. I had to just go down the hall and lock myself in my room because I knew that, you know, I didn't want to catch a charge and I didn't want to hurt him anymore. And it was very, very taxing on me because, you know, that's the last thing that I remember, you know, about him. And that's, you know, we went out on very bad terms, which, you know, I'm honestly not sad about. I think that some of the people that are your family members and that you've been around for the longest and that are negative and toxic to be around, you need to love from a distance. And I think it's very important to love from a distance because some people you just cannot be around. They're just such energetic drains that it's so taxing to be around them. You literally cannot function. You know, you just have to get out because that literally seeps into you. I mean, being around someone, being in a negative environment, and listening to their negativity, you know, it permeates into your life. That's a fact. Like, nobody can get around it. You know, I became so good at, you know, disregarding it and shutting myself out of all of it. And, but no matter how much you do that, we're all human, and we're all going to be influenced by what we're around and what we're exposed to. So, yeah, I don't want to go into that too deep. You know, I still love my brother to death. I love all my family members, but you got to love people from a distance sometimes, man. And that's just how it is, you know. I don't, you know, and I wish him the best, but I'm kind of sending good energy and then letting go, you know. You can't be there to hold their hand and to suck up that bad energy for the rest of your life, or else you're never going to move anywhere, never going to do anything. So if you have a similar experience, you know, some family member that's toxic, some friend that's toxic, just know that there is, you know, things that you can do. You know, like, yeah, you can try to help them all you want, but at a certain point, if they're very disrespectful and not open to anything that you're saying to them or open to any help you're giving to them, you need to make the decision to go and to leave and be on your own and to really, you know, not worry so much about what's going to happen to them, because this is your life. You need to worry about what's going to happen to yourself, you know, and it's a lot harder if you're a parent. I get that. But if you're single, if you're just a person, you can detach easily. I mean, it's all about detaching from the negative, guys. So, yeah, I really hope that helps some of you. I'm sure some of you are going through similar experiences, maybe even, you know, more dramatic experiences. But I just wanted to, you know, share that with you guys, because that is one of the main reasons that I wanted to get out of Dodge and go to a new place and start over. But also, you know, I would say the main reason is to pursue my career, you know, to pursue a career in the natural resources field and in the environmental field, because that's what I'm passionate about. You know, I love to be out in nature. I love to help people. And, you know, I'm doing this park ranger internship out here, and I'm very excited about it. And I hope you guys find something that, and I hope you're doing something. Maybe you're doing something you love right now. Maybe you're not. Either way, it's okay. There's always time to begin, you know. But you just got to make that first step and make the change, because the first step is always the hardest. Cliche, but it really is. So, yeah, guys. Yeah, I'm gonna go get a drink of water here, but I will be back and talk about a little lighter subject about owning a dog and the pros and cons about all of the things that come with dog ownership. So please stay tuned, and I'll be back in 1 second, literally. So owning a dog, it can be one of the most rewarding experiences that you'll ever have, and it can also be one of the most painful experiences that you'll ever have. It really just depends on what your personality is and what your threshold for experience and all that is, and what kind of dog you get and how you train it and how you treat it and all that stuff. So yeah, it's a very wide open thing. But for me, owning a dog means you know, having responsibility and having something to look after and something to look forward to. You know, having somebody to be there for you and connect with you and have a companion at all hours of the day, and having that source of unconditional love by you at all times. You know, dogs are very different than humans. They don't love with conditions. You know, most, you know, I would say a lot of humans, they love conditionally. And me myself, I am definitely guilty of this. I'm trying to love unconditionally as much as I can, but I'm a human and I slip up. But dogs, they just have this tunnel vision and this, I love you, you're my owner, you take care of me, and I'm just gonna be there for you no matter what. So as long as you treat them well and as long as you give them what they need, they'll just be there for you, man. Even if you don't, they'll still be there for you. I mean, they're so loving and so bright. They were put here, I think, to really teach us stuff. You know, even though they can't speak in our languages or speak with our symbols, they speak with love and they speak with loving energy, and you can really tell that. So yeah, guys, owning a dog, why I love it and what you need to know. Here it goes. So some of the pros of owning a dog, in my opinion, are connection, companionship, company, unconditional love, exercise, and reason. So as far as connection, you know, you just come home and instantly the dog is connected to you, and you're just cuddling with it in bed. It's, you know, especially if you have, you know, a dog that doesn't have anybody else, you know, you're its only owner, you're going to feel a very strong sense of connection with this puppy, because, you know, you most likely maybe rescued it from a shelter and there were so many other dogs there and you picked it, and it knows that, and it realizes that it is very lucky, and it is, you know, you just feel that energetic connection between your two souls. That's the way it is with me and Pesties, my puppy. I'm looking at him right now and he's just sleeping on my bed, and he's very intelligent. And I know that he knows that connection is, what we're all about. So, companionship, you know, companionship, you can take him wherever, do whatever with them, especially if they're big dogs. Small dogs, yeah, you can do the same, but, me, myself, personally, I'm, you know, I'm 6'3", 180. I'm pretty tall, pretty big. So I think it would look weird if I walked around with a small dog. So yeah, Pesties, my dog's about 80 or 90 pounds, and he's very big. But I can literally take him wherever I go, especially I love to go hiking pretty much every day. I've been going hiking out here. Love to go hiking, love to explore new places. I can pretty much take him wherever I want, you know, besides like work or, you know, restaurants and stuff and stores, but I can pretty much take him wherever I want, and he's right there, and he's a great companion. You know, he doesn't complain. He doesn't give me too much grief, and he's just a great companion. So yeah, companionship is a very, very good reason to get a dog if you're looking into it. Another thing, just the company, you know, it kind of goes with companionship pretty much, but yeah, just to have that company and to, you know, if you really feel lonely and you're trying to, you know, you've done a bunch of relationships or you've gone through some tough shit and you just want some genuine company, I think dogs can really provide that and give that to you. Well, they definitely can. And, you know, their company is very authentic, and it's not, and it doesn't have any ulterior motives. I mean, it's just, they just live instinctually. Dogs live instinctually, and they live with their primal desires, you know. If they have food, stuff to eat, water, and shelter, they're pretty much set. I mean, that's how humans should be, but as we know, that's how most of us are not, you know. But they don't care about materials or anything like that. They just care about love and how you treat them. And, you know, they're going to treat you how you treat them. So, yeah, guys. The unconditional love aspect of it, kind of covered that already. It's very apparent, you know. You just walk in, they're smiling, they're tail wagging, they're get their tongue out, and they're really happy to see you, you know, if you come home from work or whenever, you know, they're just happy to see you and happy to be here with you, happy to share this life and share this breath with you. So yeah, exercise. Yeah, that's a big pro for me. It could be a con for some other people, but you know, one of the main reasons I also got a dog is because I knew that it would make me get out and get active more. You know, I'm already fairly active and very active person, but I knew once I got a dog that, like Pesties, he's big and he has so much energy. So he gets me outside, you know, cause I know that if I don't get him outside, he's going to be restless and he's going to be, you know, not as satisfied. And, you know, I really am empathetic to him and to his desires and stuff. And I know that he loves to get outside and hike, and so do I. So just to have somebody to exercise with and go outside, take a walk or take a run, it feels very good because I'm, you know, fulfilling his needs and also mine. And, you know, you just did an exercise. You're becoming healthy together. You know, your health will definitely increase if you start getting out with your dog more. That's just a fact. I mean, you're just going to get more active. Your body's going to get more loose and, you know, your blood's going to be flowing. It's going to feel good. So, yeah, if you just want to exercise more, getting a dog is a really good thing. Nothing against small dogs again, but I just love big dogs a lot more. But yeah, small dogs too. I mean, they can keep up. Like I walked one of the small dogs here, Harry, at the Airbnb I'm staying at, from a host, and I walked him with Sue or with Pastis, and it was a very, very good experience. I mean, Harry kept up. He had short little stubby legs. He's probably like a not like 1/10 of the weight of Pastis, but he kept up. And so yeah, just get any all kinds of dogs and they will definitely get you outside and get you active. And reason is on my pros list because it gives you a reason to live. You know, if you're depressed, if you're down, and if you don't really have that much motivation to live, well, you know, get a dog. You know, I mean, it gives you a reason. You can get up. You have a reason to go outside. You know, if you're always, if you're always having these spells of depression where you can't even get out of bed, a dog will like make your ass get out of bed, dude. You know, especially like big dogs. You know, they need to get outside. They need to walk. You know, small dogs are kind of meant to be more inside, in my opinion. But I think all dogs will pressure you to get outside and to interact with them. And it's a really good thing because it's healthy and it's not going to weigh down on you too much, especially once you get outside, your mind starts clearing about all the bullshit that doesn't matter anymore. You know, and you're just moving. Anytime you're moving, anytime you're just being, you know, you feel better than if you're sedentary. So yeah, guys, get the fuck outside with your dogs. So those are some of the pros. There's many more pros, but I want to cover some of the cons. You know, this segment's all about gauging whether you're right for dog ownership because it's a big responsibility and you gotta be on your P's and Q's to be able to, you know, support and sustain a healthy dog and a healthy relationship with your dog. So yeah, guys, some of the cons, I would say, which, you know, they kind of come with the package if you're going to get it, but are food and vet expenses. Food expenses can be, you know, probably anywhere from 50 to 70 a month, depending on how many dogs, what kind of dog you have, and what kind of food you like to feed him. As far as Pastis, my puppy, I just, you know, feed him, you know, pretty much, I would say like higher quality food, probably like, 20 per 10 pound bag or 20 per 20 pound bag or some shit like that. So it probably adds up to like 50 a month for food for him, which isn't bad, but the vet expenses can be quite costly. But you know, you only have to go to the vet, like, I think like maybe 2-3 times a year, once every few months. You know, and if, you know, you get the shots, usually it's just a usual checkup you can go there for. But, yeah, if your dog does get injured or if he's sick or if she's sick, yeah, you're going to have to, you know, fork up some unexpected finances to cover their medical bills. Cause you know, I think there is a vet insurance, but, I don't have it. And certainly probably most people don't have it. So yeah, just keep that in mind. The expenses of having a dog is definitely one thing to keep in mind. You know, it is on my cons list because if you're not prepared for it, it can be, it can be very demanding on your wallet. So you got to be prepared for all of that. But really, it's not that expensive. I mean, compared to owning some animals that are very high maintenance, depends what dog you get. But type of dog I got, he's a Great Pyrenees mixed with Golden Retriever. He's very big, but he's not that high maintenance. You know, I can, you know, get away with brushing him every now and then. And as long as I get him outside, get him active, feed him right, treat him right, you know, he's going to be okay. So, yeah. Another big thing, especially if you are moving and trying to start over, which, you know, I've kind of run into, it has been my hardest thing. Luckily, I found a place that will accept dogs and is very, is going to be very good for pesties. But housing constraints. When you have a dog, especially a big one, you're going to face more housing constraints than if you were to have no pets. I mean, you're going to face significantly more, like, you know, 90% of the places you can already pretty much cut out, you know. That's, so you're down to like 10% of the places will allow big dogs and will be a good fit for big dogs, you know. Because, okay, yeah, some of these apartments, they'll allow dogs up to 100 pounds, but it's like, if you're in a tiny apartment stacked on people, I mean, and there's, you got a neighbor to the left, to the right, up and down, that might not be very conducive. You know, you could do it, but it's like, you know, you should really try to have a house with a backyard, try to rent, you know, someplace. And it really depends on the mannerisms of your dog, but I know Pestis, he's had some trauma. I rescued my dog Pestis from Beirut, Lebanon. He's been shot over there. He was found in a dumpster, you know, and, you know, he has some post-traumatic stress. So he's very loud when there are unfamiliar people walking towards him, or, you know, walking around, because he doesn't know them, and he's kind of sensing like, oh, this could be a threat. Like, it literally took him 2 weeks to even come into my bedroom. He didn't trust me at all, and now he trusts me with his life. So it just takes time, guys, especially if you have an abused dog, especially if you adopted or rescued an abused dog. It's gonna, you're really gonna need to think about what kind of housing you're gonna need to be looking for. And you know, you also should think about what would be best for them. You know, you got to think about what's best for you, but if you're a dog owner, you got to think about what's best for your child. You know, your dog's your child. You know, my Pestis, he's definitely my child now, and it really feels good, honestly, to have something and have someone to be responsible for. But yeah, that can be a con, you know, if you're looking for just real easy, you know, cheap housing. You know, you might need to have to look around for a while. You might need to really have to think and plan out where you're going to move and where you're going to stay, because you have your big dog now. So, yeah. But it's very doable. You know, I found a place not too far from where I'm going to work that I'm going to be staying in the entire basement, and it's very spacious, and it's not too costly. It fits my budget range. You know, I'm not making entirely a lot amount of money. It's an internship, but I'm making enough, and it's very conducive, because there's a big dog door and big backyard. He can go out while I'm at work and come back in, and it's going to be a good situation. So I'll keep you guys posted on all of that and my moving sitch. But yeah, I'm excited for it. So, ciao. And also, you know, if you're starting over, if you listen to the earlier portion of this episode about starting over, you'll know that I said Airbnb is a good place to go, you know, to kind of scout out for jobs and to kind of explore the area that you're going to move to. You can find Airbnbs that are dog friendly. Literally, probably only 10% of them are going to, not even 10%, you know, probably 5% are going to allow really big dogs. But you can find them, and at reasonable prices, you know? So don't worry so much about that, man. There's so much opportunity out there. Like, everything will go good if you just set the intention, man. So do it. I mean, I did it, so it means you can do it. I'm not special. I'm just some guy, you know, talking in this microphone to you, who is, you know, gracious enough to listen to my episode. So yeah. Okay. Another con, which, this is kind of a pro for me, but it can be a con for others, is responsibility. So the reason it's a pro for me is because I kind of like to be responsible for someone, and for, you know, to be responsible for a living, breathing being is a big thing. You know, you got to make sure that they're healthy. You got to make sure their needs are met and that everything's good with them. Other people, you know, not speaking for you or anybody else, but other people might be like kind of taken away by that responsibility and said, oh, I already have enough responsibilities, you know, between job, work, relationships. I understand, but if you're gonna own a dog, this is something that you have to know about. This is a being that you are now responsible for, and you can't, you know, just neglect it. I hate when I see, when I walk past someone's backyard and I just see this dog chained up there, and then I come back, you know, 8 hours later, it's still chained up there in the same spot, just looking miserable and stressed and depressed. And it's like, you shouldn't be a dog owner if you don't treat it right, if you just fucking chain it up in your backyard and keep it in a cage all day. So these are things you really have to consider, you know. And you know, I'm confident that most dog owners are very nice and very good, but there are, you know, those few that spoil the bunch and that give dog owners a bad name. So yeah, guys, you just got to be responsible for them, you know. So, yeah. And yeah, like I said, I put this on the cons as well, getting active. You know, it's a pro for me. I love to get outside and exercise and walk my dog Pestis, but some people, this would be a huge con. You know, some people live more sedentary lives, don't like to get outside and walk as much. And like I said, if you're really going to get a dog, like a big dog, like 30 pounds plus, I would say even say like 40, 45, 50 pounds plus, you need to walk that thing. Like it is, I mean, any dog you get, you need to walk it, but the smaller ones, you can kind of get away with less, you know, walking because they're, you know, a little more conducive to the indoor living. But big dogs, you really need to allow them to get outside and get them their exercise because, you know, dogs were meant to herd sheep. Dogs were meant to guard large parcels of land and livestock. And dogs, you know, every dog is related to a wolf, and wolves fucking travel miles in the forest every day. So they have those genes. So you got to be ready to walk them and get active, man. But it's not like you have to be out there for fucking 10 hours a day. You can, you know, a rule of thumb for me, I try to get my dog out for at least an hour a day. Even if it's shitty weather, you know, we had a terrible winter in Iowa and I still got him out every single day, every day, even a little, you know, even there was this day that was negative 19 degrees Fahrenheit and it was absolute hell. Felt like fucking little icicles were piercing my cheeks, but I still got outside with him for 15, 20 minutes and got him a walk, you know, even if it's just a little. You got to get him out, man. You got to get him out. But yeah. So yeah, if you guys are looking into owning a dog, I hope that kind of sheds some light on what to expect. You know, that's certainly not all of the aspects of dog ownership, but it's some of the main ones that I've come to understand and, you know, come to practice. So yeah, just know that it's a very rewarding experience being a dog owner, but it's also a, you know, you got to be responsible. You got to be on your shit, you know, to take care of another animal and to take care of a being. And, you know, if you can barely take care of yourself, maybe you shouldn't own a dog right now. But, you know, if you really want that love and that connection and, you know, just that serenity that a dog gives when you pet him or when you see him, I think, you know, you should go for it. especially going to rescue leagues and adopting is a lot better. I'm not much of a fan of buying from breeders. I just think that there's so many dogs that need adopted and such that you could go to that route much easier. And, you know, it's fairly cheap to adopt a dog, maybe a couple hundred dollars, all things considered. I ended up getting Pesties for free. I mean, I worked at this animal sanctuary. I got them at for about a week, and then they just said, hey, you want to take Pesties? And I'm like, hell yeah, I do, because he's an amazing dog. And yeah. So yeah, guys, thank you for listening to this episode. I think it's the 10th episode of the Starseed Sound. I'm not sure. But okay, so now you know I'm back. If you're returning, thank you so much for being a returning listener. If you're new, thank you for listening. I really appreciate all of your guys' support and all of your clicks and all of your and all of your ears. So I'm going to be posting now every week, I promise. So, you know, I'm here in Colorado. I moved, I started over, and I hope you guys are doing so well. And I'm going to be I'm going to be posting. So, yes, sir. I'm going to be on here and I'm going to be posting an episode a week. I promise. I love you guys. Thank you so much for listening and have a wonderful, great day, evening, night, wherever the fuck you are. Thank you. See you.